Okay, tonight is the last installment of the shiur we've been giving over the past couple of days on the Ramban's drasha for Rosh Hashanah, which again, as we indicated at the beginning of the week, this was a drasha that the Ramban gave towards the very end of his life. In the last few years of his life, he had emigrated to Eretz Yisrael, and he gave this drasha in Akko on one Rosh Hashanah. So what we're going to see tonight is that the Ramban finishes off the drasha, speaking about the uniqueness and the special nature of Eretz Yisrael. Again, for those who have been going to the shiurim throughout the year, this is a favorite theme of the Ramban. He talks about, in his Pirush al HaChumash, the commentary on the Chumash, he talks at length, at numerous places, about how special Eretz Yisrael is, how unique Eretz Yisrael is. And here the Ramban is actually standing in Eretz Yisrael, giving this drasha, the place that he's written about his entire life. And here he is actually there. I imagine it was an incredibly emotional moment for him when he got up in Akko and said these things. But he finishes off the drasha talking about the specialness of Eretz Yisrael and how the specialness of Eretz Yisrael in certain ways is tied to the specialness of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So let's see what he has to say. Kivon Sheomarnu, this in the Chevelle edition is page Reish Mem Tes. Kivan she'amarnu she'Rosh Hashanah yom din l'chol adam kula nidon in bo. Since, as we've explained, Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment for every human being, and everyone's judged on it. Tzrichin hakol losim hadavar al libam v'loshuv b'tshuva. So everybody has to take that idea to heart and to repent. U'l'hischaret al avonosam u'pishehem. People have to regret the sins that they've committed. U'laharbos tfila v'tachnunim. And to engage to a great extent in davening, in supplications, Shimchol HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Ahoda Shelohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive even the sins that we're not aware of. She'en Yom HaKippur Mechaper El Al HaShavim. Because Yom Kippur only works if you do tshuva. Right? There is an opinion in the Gemara, the opinion of Rebbe, that Yom Kippur works even if you don't do tshuva, but the Ramban here clearly takes the other opinion, the opinion of the Chachamim, that Yom Kippur only works if you do tshuva. Vatshuva, chesed gadol al abrios. While it's true, says the Ramban, and here comes a unique insight of the Ramban, while it's true, says the Ramban, that the existence of tshuva, the fact that we have the ability to repent, the fact that you can actually fix what you broke, is a tremendous chesed, it's a tremendous kindness that Hashem extends to us. Aval onesh gadol hu lohem. But in a certain sense, tshuva is a double-edged sword. Because the existence of tshuva can also be a tremendous source of punishment if we don't utilize the opportunity correctly. And he goes on to explain. Shebizman she'odom chote, over al ritzon boro sho' achas b'shas hachet. When a person sins, so in that moment when he's sinning, so he's gone against the will of his Creator. But that's one moment. Ukshu omed ve'eno shav b'tshuva. But when you don't do tshuva, omed b'merdo kol yomov. It turns out that the person is rebelling against Hashem for the rest of his life. Meaning, if there was no such thing as tshuva, if you blew it, and you blew it, and there's no way to fix it. Okay, so you sinned. That was a moment in time where you sinned. And now we move on. There's nothing you can do to fix it. So, okay, what happened, happened. But now that we have tshuva, says the Ramban, so now you broke it, but you can still fix it. Aye, but you're not fixing it? So every moment that you're not fixing it, in a sense, you're breaking it again. Because here you are, continuing to reject the opportunity that God has given you to engage in tshuva. V'kol shekein Yisrael, shemispalalim umisvadim, umelachashim befiem, v'tsoakim bekolam, chotonu avinu poshanu, ve'enon manichin ho'avonos klal. How much more so, Yisrael, who are davening and confessing and, you know, talking and saying, you know, we've sinned, you know, in so many terms. And that's it. And they don't, you know, the Jew, consider the Jew who says, Chatasi avisi poshati, I have sinned, but continue sinning. Shezeb vaday mered godolhu, umosif alatzmo kas v'charon af. Certainly, somebody who confesses their sins and goes through the motions of tshuva, but doesn't actually do real tshuva, so how much more so is that going to be a source of God's anger? I want to just focus for a moment on one point in the Rabban. Kol Shekein Yisrael, he says, what we said before, that if a person doesn't do tshuva, it's really bad, because you had the opportunity to fix it and you didn't. And then the Rabban says, and certainly Yisrael, who confess their sins, and they say, Chatanu, Avinu, Pashanu, we've sinned, and yet they don't actually do tshuva, how much more so is that going to be problematic in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the Kol Shekin? What's the Yisrael to whom he refers? So I think there are two different ways to understand this Ramban. One is that the Ramban is contrasting the individual with the community. In other words, an individual who has the opportunity to do tshuva and doesn't do so is going to be held, you know, accountable for the entire duration of time he doesn't do tshuva. And how much more so Yisrael, meaning Yisrael, the Jewish community, if the Jewish community as a unit, you know, is guilty of some kind of community sin, and they say, Chatanu Avinu Pashanu, that's why he puts it into the plural, you know, that we've sinned before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Jewish community doesn't engage in tshuva, so how much more so, you know, is that that community failure to do tshuva reckoned as a terrible thing? I think it's also possible, and maybe this is the simpler explanation, that what the Ramban is saying over here is as follows. The initial lines in the Ramban are talking about the possibility of a non-Jew doing tshuva. In other words, everybody has the opportunity to do tshuva. Even a non-Jew has the opportunity to do tshuva. It's built into the very fabric of existence. And such, if a non-Jew who doesn't have the whole litany of tfilos, of davening and viduyim and confessions that we the Jewish people have, even he is going to be held accountable if he doesn't do tshuva. Kol Shekein Yisrael, how much more so Jewish people who, you know, are engaging, they have a formula, they have a rubric through which they're able to do tshuva. And they're going through the motions, they're saying all the right things, they're just not doing it. How much more so are they going to be held accountable? If that interpretation is correct, it's a very interesting point in the Ramban, because there is discussion among the Baalei Machshava as to whether the concept of tshuva is something which is uniquely Jewish, or whether it's something that would apply in the non-Jewish world as well. Seemingly the biggest proof that it applies in the non-Jewish world as well is the Book of Yonah, which we read on the afternoon of Yom Kippur, that seems to be talking about a non-Jewish city who were slated for destruction and do tshuva and are saved. That would seem to indicate that there's a concept of tshuva in the non-Jewish world as well. But there are other ways to interpret what's going on over there in the story. And again, it's not clear that the concept of tshuva applies in a non-Jewish context in quite the same way that it applies in a Jewish context. If the second interpretation that we're giving in the Ramban is correct, so then the Ramban is a source for the idea that tshuva applies not only in the Jewish context, but in a non-Jewish context as well. In any case, if you have the opportunity to do the right thing, and you say that you're going to do the right thing, and you don't do the right thing, you know, that's a terrible, terrible thing, and you're going to be held accountable. So the very existence of tshuva is a double-edged sword, says the Ramban. And says the Ramban, let me give you a mashal, let me give you a parable to help explain this. Mashal lilistim. Imagine a highway bandit. Shesholel es hadrachim. He's going out, engaging in havoc on the highways. Umalaste mesabrios. He's accosting individuals, robbing them. Vubol ifnei hamelech. And he comes before the king. And he says, Adoni, my master, mecholli al shaharagti anoshecha, forgive me for having killed your citizens, v'sholauti anshe medinosecha, and for having plundered the people of your country, v'listamti durochecha, and forgive me for having been this bandit on your highways. And, you know, the king says, okay, you know, I'll let you off this time, but don't try it again. Ulamachar, the very next day, Choser l'rosha osa, the bandit goes back on the roads and does the whole thing over again. So in other words, yesterday he went and pleaded his case before the king, and he asked for forgiveness, and then, yeah, it's like nothing happened. She'en kol piyusin she'amar lamelech, the fact that he went before the king and begged the king's forgiveness is not a point in his favor. In fact, it's a point that's held against him, as the Ramban puts it. All of his attempts to appease the king are actually blasphemous. They're actually degrading to the king, because the king can turn around to this highway robber and say, do you play me for a fool? You came to me yesterday, you got that on your knees, you cried about how you know, terrible you've been acting, how much you want to repent, how much you want to come back, and you know, you begged my forgiveness, and then you turn around and do the same thing again. In a sense, it would have been better had you not said anything. You came to, you know, you're making a fool out of me, you know, you're mocking me by coming in front of me and saying things and then not following up. So says the Ramban, similarly, if we come to shul during the Slichos period of time, during Rosh Hashanah, during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, during Yom Kippur, and we say, Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, and then we turn around the next day and we're, you know, we're Oshem, we're Bogade, we're Gozel, as we do all the things that we just confessed to, so not only is it not helpful, but it's incredibly hurtful. It's a mockery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to us, Gilisi lochem din Yom HaKippurim. I revealed to you this concept that there's a Yom Kippur in which you can do tshuva. V'hodati lochem shani mechaper bo lashovim. I told you that I enable the repentance of people who are sincere on Yom Kippur. V'siparti lochem kol tachsisin shoyom b'taynus uv'tfilo v'korbonos. And in my Torah, I explained to you all the right things to do on that day. How to daven, how to bring korbonos, how to fast. V'lo chashashtem l'dvorai lo shuv klal. And you basically said, we don't care. You know, yes, you handed us the manual to engage in tshuva, and we flipped through it, and maybe we even recited some of the things in the manual, and then we threw the manual away. Nimtza hareza mered gomur. This is the epitome of rebellion. You know, to be handed the opportunity to do tshuva and to basically laugh it off. And concludes the Ramban, Nimtza kirovon shel Yisrael eitzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what emerges is that the very closeness that the Jewish people enjoys with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can ironically be the reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu distancing us, and punishing us in a way that far exceeds what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to the other nations of the world. In other words, in a sense, we should know better. We do know better. And because we should know better and we do know better, when we don't act better, we're punished in a way that exceeds the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes other nations. Again, this idea that Ramban is bringing out, tshuva is a double-edged sword. A very memorable phrase, krovon shel Yisrael hu agoreim richukon. The very closeness of Klal Yisrael to the Ribono shel Olam is what can cause us in potential to be very, very distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's with regard to this period of time during the year, the Aseres Yemei Teshuva period. Says the Ramban, this very idea is a similar one to the concept of the specialness of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, vis-a-vis the other countries of the world, is very similar to the unique position that Klal Yisrael enjoys with regard to this concept of being able to do tshuva during this period of time. So says the Ramban, we know that Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Hashem, the land of Hashem. Umahu ha'inyon hazeh Eretz Hashem. How can you call one country the land of Hashem? V'chi ein ha'olam kulo Eretz Hashem? Is it not accurate to say that the entire world is God's land? Ha'kol bara v'ha'kol yotzar v'ha'kol shelo? God created everything, God fashioned everything, and everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is Eretz Yisrael the land of Hashem any more than Argentina is the land of Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire globe, created the entire universe. So explains the Rabban, Yisod HaDover Azeh BaPosuk Sha'omer. The answer to this question is based on a Pasuk from this week's Pasha, from Pasha Sa'azinu. And just as it's this week's Pasha, as we're reading, you know, as we're reading Hazinu on Rosh Hashanah, you know, around Rosh Hashanah time and Shabbat Shuvah, so too, presumably, when the Ramban gave this drasha, it was also right around Parshas Hazinu. And the Pasuk says, "Bahanchel Elyon Goyim," when God gave an inheritance to the various nations of the world, "Yatsev Gevulos Amim Lemispar Bnei Yisrael," He set up the boundaries of nations in accordance with the numbers of the Jewish people, ki chelek Hashem amo, because God's portion is the Jewish people. What does it mean that God's portion is the Jewish people? V'ho inyon, that means as follows. Ki Hashem bara shomayim va'aretz. God created the world, yes, that's true. V'som koach hatachtonim bo elyonim. And everything that he created down on earth, he created a corresponding force up in the heavens. V'nosan al kol am va'am ba'artzosim l'goyeham kochov u'mazol yodua. And God appointed some kind of celestial body, a star, an angel, you know, there's some kind of force up there in heaven which corresponds to every nation down here on earth. And he quotes, this is particularly brought out in various psukim in Daniel, where Daniel talks about, you know, seeing visions of the sar, of the, you know, angelic officer that's associated with the Persians, associated with the Greeks. You know, this idea that every nation has its patron angel, so to speak, up there in Shamayim. So says the Ramban, Vashem anichbar hu elokeihu Elohim, God rules over the entire world. Yes, that's true. Aval Eretz Yisrael emtsos hayishuv hinachlos Hashem yuchedes lishmo. But Eretz Yisrael enjoys a special position. Lo nosan oleha min hamalachim kotzin shoter u'moshel. There is no special angel who's appointed to watch over Eretz Yisrael. There's a special angel for Greece. There's a special angel for Persia. There's a special angel for Argentina. There's a special angel for the United States of America. I don't know how it worked during the Civil War. Was there a special angel for the Confederacy? I don't know. It's a question beyond my pay grade. But you know, every nation has an angel that watches over it, except Eretz Yisrael. Why? Banchilo osol le'amo hamiyachid shmo zera o'avov. Eretz Yisrael is special. It was given to the nation that sanctifies God's name. Vinei kidesh ha'om hayoshev ba'artza. Eretz Yisrael, which is under God's direct supervision, it's not delegated to any kind of officer, any kind of angel, any kind of patron. Kodesh Baruch Hu directly watches over Eretz Yisrael. And God sanctifies in an extra special way the nation that dwells in Eretz Yisrael. B'kdushas isur harayos, the people dwelling in Eretz Yisrael are obligated to be extra special with laws pertaining to illicit sexual relationships. Uverube hamitzvos liosom lishmo, and with the many, many mitzvos that pertain especially in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, says the Ramban, whatever nation is living in Eretz Yisrael is under a magnifying glass to a much greater extent than nations living outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's true of the non-Jewish nations who inhabited Eretz Yisrael originally. The Knaanim, who inhabited Eretz Yisrael originally before the Jews came in were lax with regard to their observance of the Isuri Arayos, the various different types of prohibited sexual relationships. So the Pasuk says, V'lo saki haretz eschem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw the Knanim out, the land of Eretz Yisrael vomited out the Knani inhabitants that were there. Kasher ko'es ha'goya she'lefneichem. They weren't careful about these halachos, and Eretz Yisrael can't stand people. It can't tolerate people who are not going to be careful with these halachos. And similarly, when Klal Yisrael moves into Eretz Yisrael and possesses it as well, if Klal Yisrael is not going to be as careful as they should be with the Isuri Arayos, the prohibitions against illicit sexual relationships, if they're not going to be careful about the laws of Shemitah, if they're not going to be careful about Avodah Zarah, about idolatry, so they lose their right to live in the special land which is Eretz Yisrael. So says the Ramban, ultimately the same idea which pertains during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva describes well the Jewish people's relationship with Eretz Yisrael. The very closeness that Hashem has with Eretz Yisrael and with the people living in it becomes a double-edged sword. It raises the level of expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for those people living in Eretz Yisrael. It raises the bar. And when they don't live up to that expectation, Rachmanu Litzlan, the land itself can vomit them out. As the Pasuk says, you know, if they're not doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do. The very same way that tshuva is a double-edged sword, Eretz Yisrael is a double-edged sword in that way as well. The Ramban then goes on to restate certain ideas which, again, we've encountered before during the Shiurim, during the course of the year. He reiterates the idea which he speaks about in Chumash, that the true place where mitzvot are supposed to be performed is really Eretz Yisrael, and that in a sense, although we're obligated in mitzvot even outside of Eretz Yisrael, conceptually the mitzvot that we do outside of Eretz Yisrael are meant to simply be practice, that we should continue doing what we're doing even outside of Eretz Yisrael, so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll continue and be able to do them. But on a fundamental conceptual level, the real place where mitzvot have the greatest degree of meaning, even mitzvot that are not mitzvot hatluyos ba'aretz, even those that are not tied to Eretz Yisrael, is Eretz Yisrael itself. V'zeu ma'amaram shor rabuseinu. And this is what Chazal mean to say. Kol hadar, Gemar in Ksubis, Daf Kuf Yud, kol hadar b'chutzo la'aretz dome k'misha ein lo eloka. Anyone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if they don't have a God. Very, very strong statement. So what on earth does that mean? So the Ramban explains that although we do mitzvot outside of Eretz Yisrael and we try to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of Eretz Yisrael, and we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of Eretz Yisrael, but the real unfiltered connection that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvot in the fullest sense of the term is in Eretz Yisrael. So that full sense of connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that we're simply not going to have outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban concludes by saying, just on a personal note, "V'zeh mashahu tziyani mi'artzi v'tiltilani mi'makomi." It's these ideas about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael that caused me to leave my land, Spain, and caused me to wander from what was my original place. Now, that's an interesting statement based on the historical record. What caused the Ramban to leave Spain is that he won the dispute, as we spoke about before, with Pablo Cristiani, the renegade who had converted to Christianity. And because he won the debate, the Spaniards threw him out of Spain. Okay, so he was thrown out of Spain, but he could have just gone to Portugal. You know, why do you have to trek halfway across the world to go to Eretz Yisrael? It was a major thing in those days. So says the Ramban, I was motivated to go to Eretz Yisrael myself because of this idea. And he says, Lefisha Ritzoni Lios Tiltul Samti Bechek Imi. Very strange phrase. My desire was that my wanderings should place me in the lap of my mother. Huh? What does that mean? So again, without going into too much detail, Rabbi Shevel here has a note where he discusses what he thinks this phrase means. And based on a passage in Rishalmi and Kilayim, where the phrase is used in the context of Ula, who became ill, was a resident of Eretz Yisrael, but became ill while he was in Bavel, and cried over the fact that he thought that he would pass away in Bavel. Ula said, although you'll bring my body to Eretz Yisrael after I pass away, but you know there's no comparison passing away in your mother's lap versus passing away in some foreign woman's lap. So the Ramban over here seems to be saying, I know I was an older man, I wanted to die in Eretz Yisrael. I wanted to pass away in my mother's lap. That's why I undertook this arduous journey at the end of my life, because I not only wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael, but I wanted to have the schus of passing away in Eretz Yisrael as well, which you see from the Ramban, is apparently an important thing for those who are able to do it. We're finishing up again these past couple of shiurim on the Ramban's drasha for Rosh Hashanah. Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocha that the upcoming year should be one that's a happy one, a healthy one, filled with sweetness and brachas and ruchnius and gashmius. And be'ezus Hashem, we should continue to be able to learn Torah without distractions, without difficulties, without disease. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should write and inscribe all of us. L'chaim tovim, l'shalom, l'alter, l'bracha. And be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocha to aksiva v'achasim ha'tova. B'chanan ben Akasha Omer, B'rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'zakos Es Yisrael, L'fikach Hirbo Lahem,